All right, we're going to go in 10 seconds. Got your news articles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got your timer?
Yep.
Good. Going in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I'm your host, Anthony King. And of course, with me is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, guys. We have another night happening over here with a lot of film news going on, man. It's actually some pretty cool stuff happening this week, man. Some it's actually
big ones.
Yeah. The biggest one, of course, we're going to be talking tonight, of course, is Netflix and the Tyson-Paul fight. All the shitstorm that happened with that. But of course, we got our small film news topics we like to bring to you guys. So why don't we just hop right into this? Because, you know, that's why everyone's here for.
Yeah, let's do it.
So first, what we have here, Disney removes their upcoming Star Wars movie that was going to be focusing on Rey, the character, of course, Rey Skywalker. And it got replaced with Ice Age 6.
That's so fucked up.
To really think about that in perspective, the studio really thought it would be more of a financial benefit to do another Ice Age. The sixth one, by the way.
One that no one asked for.
The one that no one asked for. I mean, no one even asked for anything past, like, the third one. Let's be honest.
I mean, at this point, it's just like, Ray Romano's got nothing else to do.
It's Ray Romano and what's Queen Latifah as well.
Yeah. Latifah. Who's the guy who does the voice of Sid?
Fuck.
Luziamo?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like I said, it's a franchise no one really asked for it to be continued, but for that, for a Star Wars film to be replaced, and like,
yeah,
no.
That is kind of like,
I mean,
the show they had little faith.
To be fair, no one asked for a Rey movie.
Same, yeah,
no. Either it's no faith, or they need more time to like, oh, we really need to fix this up because we might be getting some complaints.
I mean, they know the complaints are coming. It's Star Wars. They should know the complaints will come.
But I mean, I think in the current climate shift.
Yeah.
That they're like, all right, you know what? We need to save this.
I can't imagine.
give them something really like thought provoking. Ice Age 6. Fucking done deal. I mean, at a certain point, it is to a certain grade level.
Do they really have nothing else to fill the slate?
Apparently not.
I mean, it's Disney we're talking about. How many projects do they own that they could have just easily filled it with something better?
What about Squadron? The one that was supposed to be like Star Wars dogfights?
They had to put money into that.
Yeah.
You had to put money into this one. You got to put money in Ice Age. Well, shit, if you're going to put money into a Star Wars movie, put into that one. That one sounded cool as hell.
Yeah. No, I think they want to do something like, you know, something that doesn't piss anybody off. So, you know, instead of, you know, you're not pissing off the left, you're not pissing off the right. You got animals. No one's going to piss off at that. Come on.
It's plain as safe.
Look at the woolly mammoth. There you go. Happy.
I hate that so much.
To the point that a studio's so scared they're going to go to that level just to play safe.
To that level of stupid. To where it's like, hey, just to show that there's like, that we're not choosing sides. Here's a movie about some creatures that survived a cataclysmic event. Also, there's a pirate who's a monkey.
Yeah. And I bet you someone's going to try to make that even political.
Yo, these dinosaurs are in the center of the earth. And this weird squirrel has an eye patch.
You know someone's gonna try to transition into that. That's exactly the climate we're in.
At that point, you're just cherry picking for shit, you know? You're just cherry picking for like anything that's supposedly quote unquote. And that's dumb.
But how do you guys feel with, like, we did talk about last week where they did announce that they're gonna be working finally with, you know, episode 10, 11, 12. So, do you think this could be a method for them to actually, if they want to keep the character Rey, to rework that into the next trilogy instead of having her own standalone side-off movie?
It's so...
Honestly, I'm at this point where I just don't care about Star Wars.
Oh, wait, yeah. But, I mean, they, like says, they still have two other projects lined up.
Mm-hmm.
They have The Mandalorian and Grogu, which is already scheduled for premiere in 2026.
Yeah.
And another untitled Star Wars film in 2027. So they have other Star Wars projects lined up. Just, I think they're just pushing this one slightly further out.
Do you think they're pushing it though? Because they didn't say push. It got removed off the schedule. Do you think they're still going to try to produce this?
No, I think they still will. They'll still produce their trilogy. Or they might even try to push it and film it all at once. Could be a thing as well.
Okay. That could be a thing.
So as they can, it could be like constant release versus, you know, release, wait 2 years, release 2 years, you know, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. That is a method where some studios try to do. That's what it did with the last Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. It was filmed back to back and they just split it up into two parts. So I know studios try to do that now. And this could be a way to rework her story into a more grander story. Or I don't know though. It does feel like to me like they might just scrap the character altogether completely and just start all over again. Like,
I mean, that was a bullshit grab to begin with.
It was. It really was.
So I mean, we just joked all about how Senator Palpatine.
Yeah, no, we had a, right before we started recording, we had a long joke about Palpatine. Just the entire like premise of why she exists in the first place is kind of just fucking funny.
Yes.
Like, let's be honest. But yeah, that's it. What we have there for Star Wars and Disney. We're going to keep you guys up to date with anything more that's going to be announced with upcoming Star Wars films. But as of right now, sounds like the Rey Skywalker film, the solo film, is going to be canceled and shelved.
For all you Ice Age fans, this is your time to come out of the wet works.
Yep.
Because Scrap's going to lose that fucking nut again. Look, the squirrel can't get the acorn. Oh, man. What kind of antics will he put up next?
All right. What we have here for next Interfilm news. Seriously, I'm still thinking about that. I'm just trying to move forward, man.
You're so sad. Because you know how fucking stupid it is.
It really is.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Get into the next story.
Yeah. But going over to our next film news, what we have here, Final Cut Pro 11 has been announced. It is finally here to reach us, man. How many years have we been working with Final Cut 10?
For 13?
Yeah, 13 years now, and they're finally updating it to the next version. That's a long time.
It is. Dude, like I said, we used it at the college.
Me and Mike started. Yes. We started on Final Cut.
I still hear the fucking video. We started in high school.
So we had to use their actual like in demo, like test and tutorial. So their clips they use to do tests and practices and stuff.
Oh, no, I used it in at MSGC.
Okay.
Okay. Did you get like those?
No, they just gave us a straight up, you know, you got the full program.
Yeah.
But I didn't get the...
You didn't get Final Cut's little demo clips to edit with. So,
oh my God. That was great. So like we're all in high school. This is video production 1.
Yeah.
Where we're learning this, right? And our teacher, I don't even know if I can say his name, but he was awesome, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so for this lesson, we had to use these little demo videos, which was essentially a kid and his dog, and you had to sort the videos to tell a little mini story.
And I think it was Final Cut's like inbuilt, like, hey, if you want to learn editing, we have some clips you can use.
And you can practice.
And you can practice, yeah.
And the name of the dog, it was a Labrador. It was a golden Labrador. And its name was Maddie. But all you can hear over all the speakers is the fucking kid, Maddie.
But you don't get it. It's like, there is like 30 people in this room.
No headphones, by the way.
With no headphones, with different speakers. So you're constantly hearing every fucking minute, Maddie!
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 Maddie! It's just an assortment. If you can find it, oh my God, I'm going to fucking...
But man, so now that Final Cut Pro 11 has been announced, they're, of course, coming out with their new innovative features.
Innovative,
man. You gotta
never before seen.
You need to know how innovative this is, because man, Do you know they have magnetic masking?
Holy shit. Magnetic masking?
Yes.
My God. So even while the image is moving, it'll still stay on the subject? Like it'll freeze that frame?
Yeah. It's impressive. Like things that Adobe has been doing for the last 10, 15 years.
With a rotoscope.
Mm-hmm. Things that Sony Vegas has been doing in the last 10 to 15 years.
Don't forget the voice isolation feature that allows you to optimize sound levels while reducing background noises.
Things that Avid has been doing for the last 10 to 15 years.
Things that Premiere has been doing for the last fucking...
It's funny like how every time Apple will come out with something with like new features on their product, it's never really new. It's things that have been done for the last couple of years, but they always try to claim it's something new on their end now. Like, oh, this is better, new, and improved. Like,
yeah, they've been doing that for years with their phones.
Yeah.
Anytime the new phone comes out, this is a new, has 4K on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Samsung's been doing it for the last 2 years.
So, of course, you know, Final Cut has their magnetic masking when it's just rotoscoping in general. Like
they have their voice isolation, which is just enhanced speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super slow-mo, which my GoPro does that.
Yeah, fuck.
So it's like, it's all features that we've always had in for a long time.
Yes.
That I think even Final Cut X had that in future updates, they eventually started incorporating. So I don't see anything new with this. And like I said, we have not used Final Cut in years.
God, yes.
Years. I mean, well over like 8 years or so, but they've, it was such a shock and surprise to hear that they're actually coming out with a new one. I thought they were done with that, honestly.
For real.
I thought they switched over to, hey, we'll just use Adobe's now.
No, it's Apple. They want their product.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I decided to look up, you know.
Yeah, you still have to, like, to use Apple products, you need to use Apple. Like, if you want to use Apple softwares, you need to use Apple products for it.
Yeah.
So you have to get an Apple computer.
Yes. And not just, you can't just get the basic Air, you know, the Air version.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you can use all of them on there fine, but if you're trying to do some heavy duty work on there, you're going to have to get the big computer.
You're going to have to get an overclocked
computer. Which I did. I went onto their apple.com, mm-hmm. decided to put into my bag, what they call it. They don't do carts. They put in your bag. Mm-hmm. Of all the products needed. So let's start with the MacBook Pro. Or sorry, not the
computer.
Mac,
yeah, you need the Mac Pro. The Mac Pro.
Well, with all the features, all the hardware maxed out, you're roughly out, actually not roughly, you're $12,798.
Jesus.
That's a fully maxed out.
Maxed out computer.
Mac Pro. Okay.
Also included a 3-year $500 warranty on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you need the monitor because that doesn't come with a monitor. Now the monitor is $6,000. Add another $500 for warranty.
How big is the monitor?
32-inch.
$6,000 for a 32-inch refresh rate. What's its refresh rate?
Let's find out. I don't think it says on here.
I mean, it does not matter because no matter what, it still will not equal up to that price.
It doesn't say. It just says 32-inch, Retina 6K. Astonishing color accuracy, super wide viewing angle, and extreme dynamic range.
Okay, for 32 inches?
Yes, with nanotexture glass. Don't know what that is. But yeah, $6,000 for that.
$6,000 for a fucking monitor.
And then okay. 500.
That's right there. Then, of course, the 500 warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Now you need the stand to hold the monitor.
That's right. It doesn't come with a fucking stand.
No, it does not. So that grand. $1,000.
Is it? They sell monitors without stands.
I'm not sure if it has legs on it.
Or is it just a non-adjustable stand?
I think it's a non-adjustable.
I think it's a non-adjustable stand on there.
Okay,
so. You want to be able to adjust your stand.
Adjust it. Make an IPS, swivel it, turn this monitor around, adjust its height, you know.
Yes. You're spending $1,000.
$1,000 stand.
On a stand. It's not a... electrical, it doesn't like auto move, it doesn't, you know, pre-program so you know it auto adjust itself. No, it's just a damn metal piece of metal.
Okay,
so you got a grand there. All right, after taxes, put it all together, you're looking at $22,619.
Go fuck yourself.
Yep. No.
And that's also preloaded with Logic and Final Cut.
Yep. Jesus. No
so yes, paid in full right here. Or you get monthly for zero APR, $1,700 a month.
See, and that's one of the biggest reasons why we just stick with PC in general. Windows.
Do it a PC with, with half the price, you get the top of the line. For a quarter of the price, you get pretty good.
You get a decent.
Mm-hmm. However, though, for those Mac users already out there, if you guys do want Final Cut Pro, this is an actual good thing for you guys, unlike with Adobe, where you guys can actually purchase the product.
I will give it to them that.
So you can have an actual perpetual license for $300. Or if you want to get it for the iPad, that's the one that is subscription-based. You can't get a perpetual license. You can have that for $5 a month or $50 for the year. So that is something at least better compared to with Adobe, where Adobe, just for having the full-on all apps, 100 gigabytes for using their Adobe CC collection, you're looking at a minimum, what, 55, 60 bucks?
Yeah.
Something like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. But at least also with this one, if you already have it, you get the free upgrade.
Exactly. Yeah. And you get the free upgrade if you already have it. So that's at least something good on their end that they work with. So, and I really do hope that a lot more softwares and video editing companies like this, they do go back to perpetual licensings.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, if Adobe came out and said, you know, we said this before in the past, but if they came out and said, hey, $600 for the product, for the thing, fuck it, I'll pay it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I'll pay it up.
I own it.
Yeah, that means I own it. I don't have to pay monthly for this thing. I don't have to worry about bills. I don't have to worry about that. Just $600, we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you already have the Apple products, you already have Apple Mac, you already have Final Cut Pro you've been working on. Like, if you already have everything already, then it's a free update.
Yeah, it's a free update. But I mean, I still say just get DaVinci.
Yeah, I would say DaVinci is literally free.
Yeah.
And it is stupid easy. I'm so mad that I did not jump on this earlier.
I told you for the longest time, jump on it. No, I don't want to learn a new interface.
And I'm so mad that I didn't, because God damn it. Like, for me, I use it mainly for just the color correcting, but the color correcting is so fucking spot.
I just refuse.
Yeah, I just refuse.
I still refuse.
It is so easy.
I understand. I'm fully aware, but I just refuse.
All right, let's go on to our last bit of film news before we hit our main break. What we have here,
this is hilarious.
The satire publication The Onion bought out Alex Jones InfoWars, man.
You could have asked for something.
You could.
That sounds like an Onion article.
That sounds, I thought that was an Onion article. I was like, oh shit, okay, it's just an article for The Onion. And then when I saw other news agencies reporting on that, I was like, no way. This is like, by itself, this could be a movie.
Yes. And for people who don't know who The Onion is.
Yeah, explain it.
They're a political satire. Or actually, no, they're just
a satirical.
Satirical news network.
Yeah.
And back in, I'll say, last 5 years, they were the top of the line. They were, no, honestly, more than that. What's 10 years, right?
Yeah, last 10 years, man.
That's 10 years. If you went through their videos, you would not be able to distinguish between
news
for real. They did
until you get to punchlines. Like, you have to wait for those punchlines to really hit to like, oh shit, this actually isn't a news article.
Because there's a few times where they actually tricked the public to think that it was an actual real article.
Yeah. Yes.
Like the main one that came by was the execution when they ripped the prisoner's head off.
Yeah.
People thought that was a real thing.
Like, fuck. Because it started out as a newspaper.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So it was that well produced. Right now, I think it's now a podcast and like online.
Well, they branched out. Their media has fully branched out. So like I said, they have their videos now where it's like video news broadcasting, and then they have their actual news articles, and then they have their podcast. So it's fully branching out past just from news satire.
Like to show an example, there was one that they had out that was like a girl, I think she was like 16 or 17, being charged for a crime. But because of the severity of the crime, the court was ordered to look at her and reference her as, instead of a 16-year-old, 17-year-old young white girl, they had to look at her as a 6-foot, 250-pound black man. look up that video. What? Look
up that video. Fine. They didn't even change out the...
The drawing.
The drawing.
They had the courtroom drawings. And they even gave a name. Like, dude...
Court, just put the court.
Yeah. That one, I think.
Yes. Right,
yeah.
Be tried as a black adult.
This is the Onion News Network, keeping you safe from the lies.
From the law. Just kind of simple.
Tonight with an update on a story we've been following all week. Hannah Stevenson, the 16-year-old girl from Detroit, accused of stabbing a classmate to death with a screwdriver last month. At her arraignment this afternoon, Hannah received the harshest possible sentencing from the judge. She will be tried as a black adult.
Due to the extreme and violent nature of this crime, this court finds it fitting to try the defendant as an African-American. Henceforth, you will be referred to for the jury by the name Vondell Brown.
Once the trial begins next week, all courtroom images of Hannah will depict her as a 300-pound muscular black man. Jury members will be instructed to imagine her as such.
That's the Onion.
That's the Onion. So the idea that they bought out Alex Jones InfoWars, and if you guys don't know who Alex Jones is,
you should all know who Alex Jones
is. Just take a good quick 5-10 minutes just to Google him, man.
You know what? Don't even Google him. Just play like an audio snippet of just turning the frogs gay. Yeah. And you'll pretty much know exactly who Alex Jones is. Like that's
he's
it.
Like, he's the conspiracy theorist of the most conspiracy theorists. Like, this guy's out there with conspiracy.
This guy lost everything trying to tripled down on claiming that the Sandy Hook shootings were fake.
Yes, that they were all a hoax.
Yeah, it was all a hoax.
And as a result of that, the families of that tragedy were continuously harassed, continuously berated online, in person, basically even going to the grave sites.
Yeah.
And just like... defaming, like, just pretty much
defaming them, believing that they were just empty graves.
Yeah. Exactly. And so Alex Jones was finally brought to justice, equaling out to a $1.4 billion defamation lawsuit that he had to pay back to the families of the Sandy Hook tragedy, which ended up having him not only paying out whatever he had, but also liquidating all of his assets.
Yeah, his company, everything.
So what actually made this interesting is that the families who were, you know, affected by the Sandy Hook tragedy.
They're the ones who forego the payment to purchase the company.
To help the Onion purchase it. And so I was looking into this some more and seeing it because the judge actually put a halt on it temporarily to look into it, to check the legitimacy of it, because normally at the auction, they would, you know, I would think in mind, it would have been like one of those speed auctions. I thought it was going to be something like that. I don't know why. Probably
it's like, can I get a 10 minute hit, 10 minute over there, 15 minute over there, 15 minute over there?
Frogs for the gay poster, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I thought it was going to be something like that. But it was a little bit more like sealed document kind of
stuff. Yeah, that's how it goes.
And so what happened is that the Onion was actually placed up against another bidder called, I have it right here. Pause for effect. Oh, the First, what was it?
First United
American Companies, which is the owner that operates shopalexjones.com. Right. So they put up a bid of $3.5 million. Now, that's all we know as far as like how much money the Onion, how much was bid, but we don't know the Onion's actual bid. But the guy that was running it, I have his name right here. It was Murray. The guy that was running the... Christopher Murray.
Yeah.
Who ran the auctioneer, chose the Onion's bid over the $3.5 million. For one thing, the bid that the Onion put up, liquidating-wise, like cash on hand, was below the $3.5 million.
Okay.
But the bid that made him choose... The reason why he chose the Onion is because the money that was foregone to the families of the tragedy, put that towards payment of the creditors.
Got it.
So paying off the bank and that loan was essentially the biggest thing
that they wanted. Yeah, yeah.
Because $3.5 million would have bought you the stuff, but you would still have the credit to go with
exactly.
it. Exactly. They paid off the credit, however much that was. I don't know how much that was.
Okay.
So that was the reason he chose that. Chose the Onion's offer because not only do they pay off the credit of it, but then whatever money they have on hand, you know,
See, I see that fully going through. I don't see any legal issues with that.
Yeah. So the judge that was overseeing the case, Judge Lopez. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought of the Lopez show for some reason. The sorry. Yes. Judge Christopher Lopez of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for Southern District of Texas put a temporary hold on it, saying that he needed that the thing that that he was not aware of in the sealed bid format of the trustee implemented was that there was lack of clarity, that he didn't know everything there was to know about.
Got it.
Like that. Like he didn't know that that was part of the bid. You know, like that was even.
So he just wants more information to collect to kind of understand what's happening.
Exactly. So paid off the creditors. Onion technically owns it for now, but they're probably going to oversee it and it will probably end up going to the Onion.
Yeah.
And then the Onion will own all websites, social media accounts connected to it, except for the personal account of Alex Jones. Musk's lawyers were actually there saying that his account is owned by X.
Yeah, so.
So
yeah.
They can't do that. But even their supplements as well, because they had supplements.
Now, here's the big question, though. Is this bid going to fall out them just trying to tank whatever's left of InfoWars, or are they going to actually try to revamp it into something of their own?
No, no. They've actually, I've read an article about that. They're talking about how they're going to do this.
Okay.
No, they're going to revamp it and make it their own.
So, okay. They're going to legitimize it.
Yes.
In their own way.
No, well, no. It's still, they're still doing the whole satire thing.
Okay.
But what they're doing is taking Alex Jones's pretty much library, his whole stuff. I'm not sure about his videos, but
they're gonna take Alex Jones and really like create a satire format based off of him.
Yeah.
I got it.
And they did say that the CEO of Onions was saying he couldn't wait to show everybody what they have in store for it.
So they're
gonna keep it
still on the same line as InfoWars, but now you know it's satire.
Yes.
So you can't even tell the difference what's old and new. And that's supposed to really got it.
Damn.
So they're like I said, we're not losing the name, nothing that's disappearing. InfoWars is staying, but now they're just gonna go full force.
They're into that format.
And now anybody who takes it and runs with it and saying like, well, InfoWars had it. Well, you know, that's owned by the Onion, right? The Onion's a satirical website.
Yeah.
Everything is a satire. It's not real.
Yeah. But at least for the next, I'll say at least half a year, there'll be those that don't know.
Remember, a lot of people are not going to know that the Onion bought out InfoWars. So when they see InfoWars coming back with new content, they're going to be excited thinking, oh shit, Alex Jones is back.
You understand this is the prime time for people to just like laugh at stupid people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be perfect. I might actually start sitting in on InfoWars, man. I might
subscribe to it, honestly.
I know. That is funny. That is fucking hilarious.
Do you know ostriches are carrying Glocks out in police districts? Sure are, buddy.
Yeah.
You sure are. That's right. Soon they're going to send tactical lions. Fucking idiot.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is going to be really hilarious. I'm actually excited for this to fully go through and seeing exactly what the Onion's going to do with InfoWars.
Yep.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we get back, we're going to cover our main topic tonight. So stay tuned and we'll be right back to you guys.
Quick little news articles that didn't make it into this episode. Denzel Washington declares Black Panther is on his list of movies to star in before he retires. Predator will be the protagonist of Predator Badlands, one where director Dan Trachtenberg says they are creating a character you can connect with, as well as Legendary Pictures acquiring the rights to Gamera, the monster that they plan to introduce into the MonsterVerse and build him up as a match against Godzilla.
And we are back covering over the main topic. What we have here tonight, man, you guys should know it happened. It came. It's here. And man, it was a shitstorm for Netflix. The Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fight.
That was, I mean,
Say what you will about what happened during the event, the fighting, you know, if you enjoyed it, if you didn't enjoy it, but man, Netflix had problems.
Technical problems.
They were not ready for a live production recording, and it was obvious.
I think it was both Netflix and MVP, both of them, since it was collaborated. Mm-hmm. Both of them were not prepared for that night.
Yeah, so like what happened? You guys both of it watched the entire thing, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched from start to finish.
So like let's get your rundown, like from beginning to end, like what was the things you were seeing happening going wrong that stood out from like normal actual fight broadcasting?
Well, on normal fights, you have you have your fight set up. For instance, you're gonna have like 6, 7, 8, 9 fights. You're just gonna have one another.
Yeah.
And even then we have the fights. Once those fights are done, you have normally a 10-minute cooldown. Ten minutes maxed out. But it's normally about 5-10 minutes, which there's normally, you know, commentators talking for about 5 minutes, showing promo footage, a couple commercials, whatever they might show, talk about advertisement, then bring up the next fight.
Yeah.
This thing was nothing like that.
No.
It was almost a 30-minute gap between fights. And
what are they doing in between?
Commentators were talking. The
bullshit
same ones.
Commentators.
Bullshit about commentators.
Anything about the fight, the event, or just...
They tried.
No, they actually tried.
Okay.
You had one person who actually knew what he was talking about. I don't know his name.
Holyfield?
No. The one guy who was there the entire time, and he was talking most of the time.
Oh, God damn it. I know who you're talking about, but even then he was pissing me off.
Yeah, but he pretty much had to carry the entire show himself.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Instead of having commentators, which, you know, they bounce back and forth, they have three or four.
Yeah.
It was literally one guy... handling the entire thing. Then they had right there, Rosie Perez.
Well, I don't know why she was even.
Yeah, why is
I get
does
it.
She has anything to do with fighting?
She's a lifelong boxing fan. I'm an NFL.
Evidently not.
I'm an NFL fan, but I'm not about to sit there and do a commentary on the Packers.
No,
I'm not about to start doing that.
Yeah,
there's a fan, and then there's someone who has dedicated their life to the sport.
Yeah,
yes,
and with their fan knowledge was just not there.
Yes.
Whatever knowledge that she had was not okay. there. Neither was fucking Cedric the Entertainer.
Yes. So you had issues with time gaps, the commentators, which it looks like they just got a bunch of random ass celebrities to do commentating.
Mm. I mean, Jerry Jones was there for fuck's sake.
Yes. Then you had network problems, which means you had streaming problems, which it kept freezing every 10 minutes.
Yeah, how was the buffer rate going on?
Dude, it was horrible.
It was downright awful.
Like, yes. You think Netflix will have the money to purchase the bandwidth to handle, like, incoming traffic like this?
They had 60 million households watching the main fight.
Mm-hmm.
It peaked out at 65 million.
How would you compare those to, like, pay-per-view numbers, though?
I mean, it's roughly around, like, pay-per-view numbers.
Okay.
But it's... What seems like they weren't prepared for this at all.
Mm.
They thought they were, but it kept freezing every 10 minutes. Would just pop up the buffering, and the only way to fix it was back out, back in. It didn't do that, you know, auto load.
Was there any cue to it, or?
There was no cue, but there was an issue where, you know, you're watching the fights, and so all of a sudden just froze.
Got it.
Then, especially on sports, if you're watching live, you want to watch up to the second.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss
something good. You can miss something big.
Yes. You don't want to be back. You know, any sports fanatic will tell you they don't want to be back 10 seconds because you miss that one punch, that's it.
Yeah.
Everyone's ahead of you. You want to be that one person that's watching live.
And has Netflix came out, or has anyone came out and said anything about the buffer refresh rate affecting other shows on their platform? So if there was too much traffic happening on the fight itself, did it slow down any of the other television aspects that they had on the platform?
No, I went through the Netflix, their news articles, the actual like release from Netflix themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned nothing of that. The only thing they do mention is that this was a record breaking event, for total viewers, this week.
Yeah.
90 million. A household watched it. Over 6,000 bars and restaurants streamed it. Paul Tyson was number one trending on X.
Okay.
It was event shattering records it was the Tyson fight was the biggest boxing gate outside of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest I guess, payout, $18 million.
Okay, so they're just seeing the numbers that people would have suggested that they would have already accomplished or smashed, but it still doesn't cover any of the hiccups that they had.
They're just saying all the positives. Yeah. Oh, this happened. This was also a star-studded event, mm-hmm. which they literally list a bunch of celebrities on here.
But they didn't want to mention, you know, how mics were going out, how noise cancellation was bad.
Noise cancellation early on, you hear the crowd through the microphone, which you're not supposed to hear. Yeah. There was an interview with, they're doing the commentary with Holyfield. Mm-hmm. His earpiece wouldn't work, so he couldn't hear the commentators. Someone's mic shut off midway. So there are issues with that. Then there are other problems, but there's like technical issues left and right.
Yeah, like it's okay if you handle like one, two technical issues that pop up, but when you're happening constantly, it becomes noticeable. Yes. It becomes actual really noticeable.
Yeah, and like I said, it's my whole issue with this whole thing, that the fights themselves, just to get this out of the way, they're pretty decent. The first three ones, they're pretty good. Last one, of course, everyone says it's just a waste of time.
Dude, it's a 20-year-old fighting an almost 6-year-old. Like, what do you expect, man?
And what do we all? It was elder abuse. Let's just.
I mean, yes,
but it showed that Netflix is not prepared for. No major live events.
And the next big event they have is what, football, right? For Christmas?
Yeah. I think Kansas City Chiefs versus.
Okay. So it's going to be a high turnoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And then after that, in January, they have WWE.
Yep. WWE Raw starts, which means they're going to start regularly showing the live events.
So what they got. In reality, they got, 2 to 3 months to actually really prepare and get this fixed up for actual...
Yes.
They have steady and actual good live broadcasting.
And they have to perfect it for the NFL because NFL fans do not take kindly to problems.
That is very true.
I mean, you already got worries already from NFL fans on how... this fight was streamed, how well the clarity of this games are going to be.
Exactly.
Like it's, let's see, who do we got playing? Oh yeah, Kansas City Chiefs versus the Steelers.
That's
both of them are in first place.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. In
each of their divisions. And then you have Baltimore Ravens versus Texans. So this is going to be a high turnout. This is going to be a really good game, day for game. But with the amount that we just saw.
Yeah.
This is going to have a lot of people throwing shit at their TVs.
Yeah. And you got to think about, this is different too, because now they're going to be working in a completely different environment, outdoor, outside environments.
Yes.
There's weather conditions now to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I said, I think this was mainly a problem on the combination MVP and Netflix themselves trying to handle events. The NFL one, unfortunately, I do have faith on it because it is the NFL handling it.
Is it? And is it just going to be NFL producing it and sending it over to Netflix just to stream and distribute?
I believe it might be that.
Okay.
And if it is that, like, so we have full faith on Netflix. I mean, sorry, on NFL.
You have faith that they can do that, there's still the bandwidth issue.
Yes.
That,
that's another problem. But as for technical-wise, most things, NFL is going to handle all that easily.
What about WWE, though? Because that's the next big one, too.
Same thing. I think they could handle the whole technical issues. Mm-hmm. Bandwidth is, like, the problem right now, right? Bandwidth is an issue. And hopefully they'll fix it by then.
I mean, this isn't the first time that Netflix has their stream has been like this, live events.
Yeah.
Like, they just started doing Love is Blind.
Yeah.
For like live events. Mm-hmm. And even everyone was having the same issue then.
Yeah. But I talked about that when we talked about it during that time.
Yeah.
When you do live events, there's a difference between stage choreographed live events where you have full control on the environment and what goes on, and then sporting events where you have very little control on the weather conditions, the environment, what happens. Like, you're there just to mitigate the problems that will arise compared to an on-stage performance like Love is Blind, where you can actually pre-recording mitigate most of those problems.
No, but see, they started to do... You know how at the end of like whatever dating reality show, there's like
the reunion? Yeah. The reunion.
They did the live event of that reunion.
Yeah, but those are still, you know, safe. You're in a studio where you control.
Yeah.
There's still that control aspect of you can handle as much as you can handle besides for those fucking crazy people on stage. Now you got live events. Like I said, there's weather conditions, weapons, and things get too cold, too hot,
yeah,
where cameras can go out, drunk people at these events. So you have crowds, fans that can start messing with production, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So now you have all these factors you cannot control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't forget, on sporting events, you have commentators on opposite ends of the, you know, arenas. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. They're not just in one spot. Like, the Love Is Blind, they're literally just in one studio. They're stuck there.
Mm. And I doubt that during the football games, Netflix is going to be the only streaming site. So there's going to be other companies who are going to be recording and broadcasting live too. So you have to work around them as well. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So there's less things to control.
Yeah. So, like, Amazon has it pretty locked down pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't had a single issue watching an NFL game on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I've streamed it. I watched their games on there. Never had a problem. Netflix, it seems like every time they do a live event, there's problems there every single time.
I feel like with Prime, though, you got that Jeff Bezos money, though.
Yeah, but still, it just shows.
You got that Bezos money.
But it does show that they are prepared to doing live.
Yeah.
And you're not hearing people complaining from Hulu watching live TV off Hulu either.
That's true.
That's very true.
So there are other services, streaming services that are offering live television, live events.
Mm-hmm.
Have no problem. Even the UFC network.
Even Max. Max is even getting to live and doing pretty well with it.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what Netflix is so far behind.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these other companies, though, is they picked up previous companies who've worked with live productions. So, yeah, you have Max, who's now doing basketball games live. But they're just hiring out the people who are already doing those games live in the first place.
Yeah.
So it seems what Netflix is trying to do is try to create companies or at least invest into organizations who aren't really into this and try to make them into this. You see what I'm saying?
Well, they're trying to create.
They're trying to create the companies.
Their own in-house.
In-house. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Rather than just already buying or using people who've been doing this for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's to me, it's like they're jumping in, you know, into deep waters when they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Because they've done, like I said, they already done previous live events. They've done stand up. They've done, you know, their shows.
It was unnecessary for them to move into sports.
Yeah, it was unnecessary sports. And especially, I get it that they were trying to bring eyes into Netflix with the whole, anything Jake Paul does, they want to bring eyes into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless, as much as we hate the guy, he brings eyes.
Yeah, he'll fill the seats no matter what. Yes. So.
So it's...
I mean, I'm going to tune in to bum fights if it's bums fighting. You know, of course, that's going to get a lot of views. Kid beating up on a senior citizen. Shit, I might watch that.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, but like I said, no matter how you feel about the guy or whatever it is, he brings in views, but Netflix knew that it was going to bring in views. Mm-hmm. It was going to bring all these people, all these eyes. They just weren't prepared to handle that.
Now, but though, I want to leave you on this. I want to leave you guys on this. Do you think Netflix sees this as a win?
Absolutely.
100% they do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're
prepared. They're excited for the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
They knew.
That's all that matters. Yeah. You can have a million articles shit talking, oh, this was bad, this event bad, this was shit. But if Netflix sees the numbers that they like, it'll be a win for them no matter what.
Yeah, no, they will. Because I'm pretty sure they're pushing for some other event, major event. And I'm pretty sure that they're going to try to do other boxing events.
Oh, guaranteed.
MMA events, whatever. They're going to try to squeeze in there because they saw that this brings in eyes. Unfortunately, they might see it as any sport brings in eyes versus it was just this particular one that Mike Tyson and – because it was Tyson and Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That brought in those eyes.
So
if you brought in Paul versus some random ass YouTuber –
It won't do the same.
So now they're gonna try their hand. Okay, we just hosted this fucking ridiculous fight with really is kind of just bullshit.
Yeah,
just to see if people will tune in. Saw the numbers of how many people have tuned in. All right, now let's try our hands at an actual event.
Yeah,
football, Christmas Day, big teams, huge leads. Let's hope this doesn't fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because remember, I predict for the next 5 years, starting next year, 5 years, that's going to see the change in sports where it's being shown at.
Streamed, yeah.
Streaming. Because remember, televisions, the cable ones are all going away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever has the better bandwidth, whoever has the better, you know, fan base, whatever it may be, that's where it's all going to determine for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is... a lot of these teams, a lot of these companies are going to get a fat tax break.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. I better see absolutely. Some goddamn quality or I'm... I'm at that age now to where it's like, shit, if I'm suffering and you're getting all this money, then you better put that money towards fucking use. I want fucking 4K resolution on my 1080p television. Make that shit happen. I don't know. Figure it out. You know, I want to be able to see the fucking pupils of players all the way from the nosebleed seats. I want to see that shit. Gonna be expensive? Figure it out.
I want 60 frames on my CRT. I don't care.
I want my TV overclocked. I want my Roku TV overclocked.
I want the AI of John Madden recreating on-screen sketches of plays.
Don't tell me you can't do it. If you can have fucking SpongeBob commentators and SpongeBob characters playing the Super Bowl, you goddamn well can do it. So figure it out. All right, you got the money, bitch. You have my money. I'm not paying all this money for fucking ads for you to just fuck around. You're going to find out if you don't get what I want.
Just quick side note, just a quick one. I wouldn't, you know, but this comes back to like what we talked about previously about AI.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind an AI program where you just pick what characters you want and just watch a game off of that, where it just replaces the players off those characters. You know what I'm talking about? So you go like, you know what? I feel like watching The Simpsons versus Family Guy, and it's the Packers versus the Eagles. You know what I'm talking about?
See?
There you go. Just like, you know, I feel like swapping players out. So let's
see? They could do it. Do it. Figure it out. You're going to have a hell of a lot of money soon, so figure that shit out.
All right. I think that's pretty good. So we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How do you feel about the whole Jake Paul fight on Netflix? Do you think they did a good job? Do you think they did bad? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For our audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Samsung Podcasts. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before we fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Huh?
Bitch, what? Cooking?
Huh? What? Oil? What is this about? Oh, bitch, you cooking? I don't know. Come on, get in! Just classic. Yeah. Fucking classic. All right. As Anthony was mentioning, yes, you can be able to watch these live or at least live-ish episodes as they were recorded on your YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast, as well as being able to listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Samsung Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Of course, please leave a rating down below on all that stuff. Whatever you're listening on, we'd really appreciate it, and share with a friend or family that you think might enjoy these episodes. And of course, we still have our Patreon account, which anybody can subscribe to. We'd really appreciate it if you did, because more subscribers equals more content. We want to keep doing these for you guys. We enjoy it. We want to keep you guys informed with the entertainment industry, because you as the consumer, we demand entertainment, and we are not entertained. So, are you entertained? Are you not entertained? Get it? Because Gladiator 2 is coming out. Even though it doesn't make any fucking sense. But yeah, that's all I got.
All right, guys, you heard from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.